Let us pray. Father, may the meditation of our hearts today, this morning, be pleasing to your sight as we ponder over your grace and mercy, especially on Easter morning. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Do not cling to me, Jesus said to Mary, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But who can blame or chide Mary, especially after all the emotional turmoils she has gone through the last few days? The memory of Jesus' brutal crucifixion remains fresh, and it must still be very hurtful and painful to Mary. We cannot underestimate the devastating impact of the crucifixion, as Jesus has forewarned us that you will all fall away because of me tonight. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Judas and Peter did fall away and scatter, and each in his own way betrayed and denied Jesus. Although the Bible gives no details about the other disciples, we are not surprised if Judas and Peter are not the only ones. But in all these difficult moments, one woman stood steadily firm. Although she may be confused at times and cannot fully understand the significance, she faithfully held on to the promise of Jesus and returned later, as Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says, Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. But the vision of the tomb reminded Mary again about the brutality of Jesus' death, and she wept. John chapter 20. Given the condition, we can understand her ecstasy when she discovered that Jesus had in fact been raised from the dead. Do not cling to me. To be fair, who could admonish Mary for doing just that? No one, not even Jesus himself. Jesus was not blaming Mary. He was just making the point that there is no need to hold on so tightly at this point. Jesus will still be around, although he is ascending to the Father. In other words, we have time, so don't worry. Another reason, which is more important and pertinent, is there is a job to be done. Jesus continues in verse 17, But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There is a message for Mary to deliver and proclaim. Although Mary is enjoying the moment of her life, clinging to the risen Lord, however comforting it is, she needs to let go of Jesus for the benefits of the others. Go to my brothers and say to them. The message of the risen Lord has to be proclaimed, as it is nicely captured in Matthew chapter 28, Go and make disciples of all nations, the charge of the Great Commission. As Christians, we can understand Mary's joy because we too desire Jesus. Like Mary, we enjoy the risen Lord and never wish to let go of Him, especially in our worship. Indeed, who would wish to let go if we can have Jesus all to ourselves? This, we may say, is also what Peter, John, and James are experiencing at the point of Jesus' transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verse 29 says, "The appearance of Jesus' face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white." The transfiguration takes place when Jesus is preparing his final journey to Jerusalem to face his crucifixion. With the presence of Moses and Elijah, a sign of God's salvation for the Jews and all humanity. More importantly, transfiguration prefigures resurrection. It is the foretaste of what is to come. As Luke 9 says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." The key here is "on the third day be raised." Overwhelmed by the glorious phenomenon, Peter then said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And the gospel is very quick to capture the ecstasy here. Like Mary, the disciples are spontaneous in seizing the moment to contain the grandeur permanently to themselves. Indeed, it is not wrong to do that. If we wish to have Jesus all to ourselves, to soak ourselves in the glory of God and be comforted and satisfied. We all need that. We all need to be soaked in God's glory, to be comforted by the Lord, because we are hungry for God. The transfiguration, in fact, is God's way to satisfy our hunger, our desire, and our need. Transfiguration is also a very special way by the Lord to prepare the disciples for the crisis awaiting them. So when they are hit by the eventual reality of Jesus' brutal crucifixion, they may have the strength to rise to the occasion. Like the disciples, we have a crisis on our hands today, although of different nature. As we are still battling with the COVID pandemic, another war, as we know, broke out in Ukraine, and it has compounded the problems the world is facing. The impact on world economy is great, as some analysts comment, and the geopolitics will never be the same again. The fact is, the world will only become more fragmented, nationalistic, and increasingly unstable. Although we are very far from the war zone, we are not spared from the ripples. Singapore is a small and open country, the little red dot. Whatever happened out there will come to us. As it is, we are already experiencing an increase of cost of living. Goods prices are going up. 2 days ago, I went to the hawker center, just realized that the noodle cost me extra 50 cents. If you drive, you know how expensive
the petrol is now. The fact is we have pressure, feeling the pressure, especially on our wallet. And some of us may just have to tighten the belt. At the time of crisis and suffering, all of us here, like Mary and the disciples, need to draw near to the risen Lord and soak ourselves in God's glory. As Christians, we believe no matter how tough the situation is, we could still bear witness that God is good and His blessing is indeed sufficient for all of us. Notwithstanding the challenge and difficulty, we have something big or small to give thanks for. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Certainly, what shall we eat, drink, and wear are all important questions, and I believe we can all agree about that. Because what shall we eat, drink, and wear concern our livelihoods. And God never take that lightly. And that is why Jesus gives us the assurance that your heavenly Father knows that you need them, and all these things will be given to you as well. Although not easy, we are in good hands, and we need not overburden ourselves with the material needs, because God will take care of them for us. If material needs should not preoccupy ourselves and should not be our main concern, then what is? The answer in Matthew chapter 6 from Jesus is, our main occupation and concern should be first to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. In other words, our spiritual need. Our spiritual need is about our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is about the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. When our relationship with God is strong, our faith is strong. When our relationship with God is weak, our faith is weak. And our relationship with God is closely intertwined with how we worship God. We can all agree that our worship suffers during this period of COVID pandemic. Over the last 2 years, the safe distancing rules and other regulations have made it almost impossible for all of us to worship properly together. We thank God for the recent relaxation of rules because we could see light at the end of the tunnel. We also thank God that we can now return to the church and perhaps pack the CNS for Sunday services. However, given the advantage and relaxation of the rules, and the main key question is, will everyone return? Would there be Christians who are so comfortable with live streaming service, so much so that they choose not to return to the church? What's wrong with live streaming? It has served us very well for the last 2 years. Can't we just continue? Some may think and even argue for it. It is true that live streaming does provide some advantages and convenience, especially for those who cannot come to church for good and genuine reason. To a certain degree, it does meet our spiritual need as well. Some of us do feel very comfortable with it, just like Mary comfortably cling to Jesus, or the disciple comfortably say, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents." However, could live streaming the tent we are building, or something we are clinging to and refuse to let go? Keeping the reason, Lord, all to ourselves and enjoying our intimacy with God without stepping outside our cozy house by just clicking a few buttons, indeed is very convenient and satisfactory. But is this enough? More importantly, is this form of worship the will of God for permanent basis? Two biblical principles can guide our thought here. First, we are created in the image of God with a unique physical body. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 says, "God made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor." And we need to ask, what do we have that the angels don't? And the answer is simply the body. We have a physical body, and the angels, they don't. The gift of a physical connectedness and bodily presence. And that is what we are. In our full expression as being humans, we cannot do without the body. It is a physical touch between us, the real physical connection that makes our humanity count. By saying that, it does not mean relationship built over internet or virtual platform is meaningless or useless. No, it does help. It does contribute, but only complementary. Whatever connectedness you can have over the internet or on the virtual platform cannot replace the real physical presence. They can complement, but they cannot supplant the bodily connection, because that is who we are. Just to give you an example, if your loved one, the love of your life, husband, wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, goes overseas, surely Zoom call, video call become a helpful tool of connecting. However, if the love of your life is in town, would you not prefer to have an actual on-site physical meeting or connection? The second principle is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In order to save us, the Son of God has to become a real physical human being. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus dwelling among us is a bodily dwelling. The Word became flesh. And so His relationship with us is also a physical connected relationship. God's love and God's salvation are both achieved through the physical and not virtual. And that is the will of God. Of course, God being God, the Almighty God, nothing is impossible to Him. And yet, God chose the creation and salvation to be physical and not virtual. We can say that is the will of God. When Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another, John 13. The love Jesus referred to here can never be complete by just via online or virtual platform. Love can only be complete by physical on-site connection. Last but not least, today is Easter. We celebrate the risen Lord, and the resurrection is a bodily resurrection. When Peter says, "It is good that we are here, let us make three tents," the gospel is quick to capture the naivety of Peter, because he does not know what he says. And Luke in chapter 9 says, "And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him.'" Indeed, Peter needs to listen to God, we as well. The message is clear. Transfiguration is not a moment of splendor for our personal consumption only. The glory of God is not something for us to be kept for ourselves only. And a former Archbishop of Canterbury says, "Transfiguration is God's power and splendor that is entirely focused on that sacrifice of love which set us free and give us life." Transfiguration prefigures resurrection. The transfigured Jesus is the risen Lord, the suffering Christ clothed in glory, the cross of victory and not failure. If we listen to Jesus as instructed by our Heavenly Father, "Listen to my son," we will not choose to cling on to Jesus and keep it all to ourselves as much as building a tent to contain it, or to lay back and stay back comfortably watching live streaming. We will not do that if we listen to God, because there is a job for us to do. We need to get out of our comfort zone and get the job done. Our Anglican liturgy finishes the worship service with a dismissal. We are being sent out, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord. If we truly do that, we indeed fulfill the new commandment and the great commission, and truly become authentic disciples and an authentic community of faith. Mary Magdalene, after meeting the risen Lord, went out and announced, "I have seen the Lord." Can we do the same as Mary, being sent out and announce to the world, to our neighbors, to those who yet know Christ, that Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed? Would we do that? May the Lord help us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.